Oh, my friends, we are so close now. Feast your eyes upon the very house of life and death, the temple of sensuality.
The Dory Monson Show on Cairo Radio. This is The Big Lead.
Coming to you from the Carter Subaru Studio. Welcome to our top stories this hour. Sean, I didn't give you the big lead liners here, did I?
No, you didn't. I was actually just inquiring with Nicole, so let's do it on the air.
Okay, your read on the big lead.
My
first.
Read, okay.
Let's do top story second.
Yes.
Exclusive third.
Ooh, can't wait for that one.
And then local, if I get to it, fourth.
Local, that'll probably be something about
I bet
about
I won't
here.
Get to it, though.
Yeah.
I bet I won't get to it. That's my guess, right? Especially if I keep saying I won't get to it over and over again at the beginning of the segment. Because that reduces my chance of getting to it. So with that as mere prelude, did I give you enough time?
Oh, I'm good. Yeah. Let's do this.
Let's get right to the big lead.
Your read on the big lead.
Professional. I mentioned at the beginning of the show, I am calling on Governor Jay Inslee. Because even though they caught this guy who was throwing rocks a couple of days ago on I-90, and then we got his arrest record, 30 previous arrests, 22 of them in Seattle. And yes, City Attorney Pete Holmes, who's up for re-election, he must go. He is letting criminals walk free. And I had a guest on at 12:30. Go listen to the podcast if you missed it. Ann Davidson, who will be tough on criminals if she is elected Seattle City Attorney. So, Ann Davidson, just make sure. I don't live in Seattle. I don't have a vote on this. But I need to get the word out because Seattle's infection infects the rest of the region. It affects all of us in King County and everybody in the region. So I talked about that, but he is not the only rock thrower. And there was another one I heard on I-5 earlier today. And so right at the beginning of the show, if you weren't listening, I called on Jay Inslee for some meaningful rock control legislation. Because, obviously, we have to stop the rocks from being in the hands of the rock throwers. And so I haven't heard back from the governor's office yet. You'd think I'd at least get a thank you, but no, so far. But I'm calling on the governor, and maybe not even legislation, maybe through executive order, because this is an emergency. And as you know better than anybody, you have emergency powers, Mr. Governor. So I would like to restrict the size of rocks that people are allowed to possess. And I was thinking maybe up to 4 millimeters. It's just a random number that I came up with. I'm sure that you can tighten the nuts and bolts on this, Mr. Governor. But anything over 4 millimeters, be prohibited. So I've gotten a ton of response. I'm very grateful for the volume of response that I got from listeners on my rock control suggestion. From the 253, and he needs to completely ban assault rocks. I totally agree with that. 253, wouldn't the Supreme Court strike down our rock possession law? Well, that's a good question. On a serious note, from the 206, unbelievable that someone can threaten the lives of unsuspecting drivers and be released or not arrest someone who has 30 prior arrests. For the 206, good suggestion. Stone the rock throwers. Not to death, but just for a while. I snorted. I laughed so hard at that one. From the 425, Dory, rock control order would make my front yard into an urban terrorist zone. Is there a rock surrender program? Yes. And he even has the government slogan for the rock surrender program. This would be right up there with Wash Your Handsington. Give rocks for get stoned. They'll give you a joint for every rock you turn in. And I think that's an excellent idea. I appreciate the recommendation there. Can we keep our rocks if they don't have certain assault rock features? And that's up to the gov. 206, we must institute a statewide concealed rock carry permit program. Yeah, I like that. That should be just constitutional, I would think. Dory, you'll have to tie the rock throwing to climate change for Inslee to do anything about it. And then finally, one person said, outlaw all rocks, and only outlaws will have rocks. That's an excellent point. So thank you to everybody for all of your contributions on my brilliant plan, my brilliant suggestion to the governor. And then there was one. Dory, rock throwers are not law-abiding people. You think a law designating the size of the rock will stop them? You sound ridiculous. There's always a turd in the punch bowl.
Dory, I hate to break in here, but I've got some exclusive audio from Twisted Sister's Dee Snider on his opinion on this whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, do you want to hear what he has to say?
Of course I do.
I want to rock!
Yes!
That's his official stance on the sitch.
Oh, well played. Nice job.
I don't know what size of rock he wants, but he wants a rock.
He does want a rock. Well, we all want a rock. I want a rock. I want a rock. And you know what I want to have my rock? I want to rock all night and party all day. Okay, what else? Started again. Okay, up next in the big lead.
The big lead, top story.
If you're just listening to CBS News, our news partners, I have great respect for them. Man, they are all over the Delta variant, as is everybody. I mean, this is non-stop. The Delta variant. You know, CNN, they're warning everybody about the Delta variant.
An alarming summer surge of new coronavirus cases worldwide. A key factor, the highly contagious Delta variant.
Okay, so that's every media outlet is just going, well, not every, most media outlets going crazy with Delta variant stuff. The one thing that I ask, I promised you these numbers earlier today. The one thing that I would ask of all of these media outlets is please give some context as you're talking about the Delta variant. Because, yeah, people are getting COVID, but a lot of them, especially the ones who have been vaccinated, are not getting very sick. And that is a context that has to at least be presented as part of this story, but it's not. And so what we did is we went to the Washington State Department of Health COVID data dashboard. And on it, they track not only the number of COVID cases, but also the number of deaths. And I will tell you, in the last week for which we have data, we had the lowest number of deaths ever in our state since COVID became a thing about a year and a half ago. But I have in front of me the cases by county, and then also they have the number of deaths. And it turns out that so far this week, thankfully, I mean, we've had numbers very high into, you know, the 70s in certain weeks, but we've had three. And so it seems like everybody's trying to inspire fear. And I'm not laughing off the Delta variant, not at all. But what I am doing is saying you don't need to be frightened, so frightened that you're thinking about, you know, getting the vax for your six-month-old or making your 12-year-old soccer player wear a mask while she's running around the field. It's just not necessary. But that's what's being foisted upon us by government and by most in the media. And I just find that to be so irresponsible. Yes, we should be aware and wary that there is a new variant that seems to be quite contagious. But you should also be aware, especially if you are vaccinated, that you are at almost zero risk of dying from it. And some people might get sick. Some people might get very mildly sick. But I just want to be one voice in the wilderness of media that says, hey, it's not that deadly, the Delta variant, for vaccinated people. It's just not. And so all this doom and gloom and hysteria, why is it happening? And I have a possible answer to that up next in The Big Lead.
The Big Lead, Dory Monson Show exclusive.
Peter Gabriel is one of my, top 10, top 15 favorite musical artists. And on his seminal album, So, I think this is from So, I should check that out. He had a song, a little haunting song. And the only lyrics are, do what we're told, do what we're told, told to do. And if you're driving on a rain-slicked road on a warm summer night with a convertible top down, oh, this is a great song to crank up. Bring it up full here, Sean. How'd it hit the post? Oh, I did. Do what we're told, told to do. I told a story, three, 4 months ago on the show, and I'm going to repeat it now because I don't think most people know about this. The subtitle of Peter Gabriel's We Do What We're Told is Milgram's 37. And I didn't know what that referred to. So I did some research several months ago, and I told the story on the show. Back in 1961, there was a scientist at Yale University, and he offered $4 for a one-hour study participation from people on campus there. And what he did was he brought them all in. One guy had a white lab coat. He led the session. He was called the experimenter. And then they needed 5 teachers and 5 learners. Now, the learners were all in on it. The learners had to sit in what looked like an electric chair, old Sparky. The teachers were the 37. That's why it's called Milgram's 37. These 37 pairs of people to do this experiment. And so the teachers were the only ones who did not know what was going on. And what they did was they had, all the volunteers in the room, and they gave them all a slip of paper randomly, and they all said teacher, but the actors knew that they were supposed to be the learner. So here's what they did. They put innocent, unknowing people in what looked like an electric chair, and then the actors, the learners, they were told, we're going to ask questions of the people in the electric chair. And if they get it wrong, you are going to give them an electric shock. And it started at 15 was volts? Yeah, 15 volts. Fairly mild when they missed the first question. But then they increased the voltage, they said. There was no voltage. There was no electricity. But the people controlling the button for the voltage, they didn't know that. And, they're up at 200 volts. And it keeps going up, 300 volts. 450 volts would kill a person. And the actors who were sitting in the electric chair, they were playing it to the hilt. Early on, it was, that got me. And then when it got more severe, they started, stop it! And then it's getting up to a voltage that would kill them. So what do you do if you're the unwitting person who's controlling the dial with the number of volts and the button that administers the shock? You'd stop doing it, right? Wrong. All 37 volunteers continue, and a lot of them, some of them were crying, some of them were hysterically laughing out of distress, one had a seizure, But they kept administrating the voltage in increased numbers, they thought, up to 450 volts. So the professor, or the scientist, Milgram, who was doing all of this, he says that it proves that people will just do what they're told, even if they know that it's wrong. Even if they know that it doesn't make sense, that people are so susceptible to repeated messages. And they kept telling, no, you got to do it. I know the 400 volt really hurt them, but you got to do the 425. And the actors in the electric chair, screaming. And they kept hitting the button. All I'm saying is take things with a grain of salt. Don't do things. You know, this has been the hallmark of my radio show from day one. I'm not going to say stuff just because I think it's what, you know, a Seattle audience. Seattle's a very liberal city. I better adapt my positions. I have never done that. I don't do what I'm told. We need to be more rebel in us. That doesn't mean you should not get vaccinated. Doesn't necessarily mean your kids should not be vaccinated, but you shouldn't let the government tell you what to do. You shouldn't let the government tell you you must mask your kids. None of it makes any sense. And just so you can do what you're told, don't be one of Milgram's 37. Don't keep hitting the button. Use independent thought. Don't follow just what I say either, if I disagree with government. Use independent thought. Get a variety of inputs. And stop being sheep. I know you are not, because you listen to this show. The sheep are not allowed to listen to the show. But tell your friends who are sheep. Stop it. Stop it right now. All right, and that is your Big Lead This Hour.
The Big Lead on Cairo Radio.
You bring it up full again, Sean. So we just bump out the list. Coming up next from the Dory Monson Show. A group that sold its land to the city of Seattle in 1969. Imagine what's happened to real estate prices since then. They now are telling the city, hey, we want our land back because it's increased in value so much. I'll tell you all about it. Coming up next here on the Dory Monson Show. That story we just had in the news there. Tennessee governor has fired the state's vaccine director because she put out a memo that told kids 14 and older, you can get the vaccine without your parents' permission. I'm glad he fired her. I don't like government trying to build a wall between kids and their parents. It should be between the kid, the parent, and their doctor. That decision. And to have government say, no, kids, you make the decision all on your own. Go get it. Go get that vaccine at age 14. Okay, can I buy a pack of smokes on the way? Nope. Can I get a six-pack on the way? Nope. Can I buy a gun on the way? Nope. Can I have somebody inject me when I get there? Yep. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. So I'm glad he fired her. And I was just looking again at the Washington data dashboard. I'm not going to spend any much time on this. But here's the latest update from our state's Department of Health. 47% of COVID deaths in our state have been 80 years old or older. 35% between 65 and 79. So 82% are 65 or older in our state. 14%, 50 to 64. 35 to 49 have been 4% of the deaths. 20 to 34, 1% of the deaths, and age 0 through 19 represents 0% of the deaths. No, it doesn't mean zero, because it might. All it means is below 0.5 of 1%. When they say 0%, they round off. But 0% of children up to the age of 19 are dying. And so, don't have government make. Again, that's. Don't let government tell your kid what to do so that they can boost the stock price of Moderna and Pfizer. It's crazy. When I, my wife and I, we bought our first house in Ballard, on the mean streets of Ballard. We bought it when we got married, 1987. Yeah, I know. We just had our 34th anniversary. She's a saint. We bought it for $60,000. Little two-bedroom, one-bath, brick Tudor, in really bad shape. And, oh, we put some sweat equity into it. And every day after work, we would, you know, be scrubbing the walls, repainting, restoring some nice wood molding, redid the kitchen, redid a bed, one of the two bedrooms. We put a lot of work into the house. And a couple years later, we found a piece of property. I've always wanted to live on a larger piece of property. So we found a piece of property, and we had to sell our Ballard house. We bought it for $60,000. We sold it for $119,000. Now, the market had increased, but, you know, it didn't increase that much. It was all the work we put into it that increased the value. And I would love if I could get the house back right now. Because let me go to Zillow. Let me type in the address. 66 Avenue Northwest. There it is. Oh, it's a nice picture of our house. It is now. Oh, my goodness. I'm doing this live. The house we sold for $119,000. Two bedrooms, one bath, 2,200 square feet. Is now valued at $985,000. That's insane. Last time I looked, it was high 700s. The reason I'm bringing all this up is because there is a church in Seattle Central District, and they, back in 1969, they sold a piece of property to the city of Seattle. They sold it for $34,000, which, by the way, is quite a bit of money for real estate in 1969. But they now say that they were coerced into selling the property, that the city was threatening to take over that property through the power of eminent domain. And I don't know what the eminent domain cause was that the city said they might need to take it over. But the church says today that they were coerced into selling the property to the city. And so the pastor there, Reverend Robert Jeffrey Sr., he says that he wants the piece of property back because they were pressured into the sale. He wants the city to either return the property to the church or pay its current value toward the church's housing projects. You know, I'm all for this. I want the person who bought our Ballard house to either give it back to us or pay us $985,000. In fact, I'm demanding that. You have 24 hours to comply, or else I will take umbrage with you. So I don't know how you can undo a 52-year-old real estate deal. But I understand the motivation. Just from my personal experience of seeing the value of something I've sold go up dramatically. But I just, what a can of beans that would open. If the city of, but here's the thing. It is a predominantly African-American church in a city that is really focused on, you know, what they call racial equity. And I wonder if the city's thinking about it. I wonder if the city is willing. And I also wonder, a piece of property that was worth $34,000 in 1969, how many millions is that worth today? My goodness. They say that they are appraising it right now to get a current valuation. They probably have a chance because of the demographics of the what's involved here. But my goodness, I would love the same thing. City of Seattle, force the people who bought my Ballard house to give it back to me, please. All right, coming up next, we will count down our favorite sound bites of the day. Awesome audio is next here on the Dory Monson Show. And down the stretch we come. What a day, what a day, what a show, what a day. I told you I had 6 hours worth of material that I packed into three this afternoon, including we have a very special edition of our favorite sound bites of the day.
This is Dory Monson's awesome audio clips of the day.
The Joe Biden CNN town hall was last night, and CNN, they used their cameras to make the auditorium look full, because they only showed the first 10 rows. But there were pictures taken from the back of the auditorium that show that it was at least two-thirds empty. And I zoomed in on the stage because sometimes people will do that to give a false impression, maybe take the picture an hour before the town hall begins. So I zoomed in on the stage to make sure it was Joe Biden standing on the stage at the time. And it was. The place was two-thirds empty, with Joe Biden doing a town hall with Don Lemon. He got more votes than any candidate in the history of the United States of America. I mean, how cool and impressive is that, for crying out loud? But he can't fill about a 400-seat auditorium. Can't even get half of it full. It's weird, isn't it? Okay, Joe Biden, he talked about being president, and he said he has so much experience, that's what's making him great at the job.
And watch the rest of the heads of state react to me, not me, because I'm the president of the United States of America. The United States of America. And here's what happened. It's the first time I ever felt like, you always hear say, leader of the free world. Well, I realized, when I'm sitting across from Putin, who I know, he knows who I am. I know who he is. He knows I mean what I say and can do what I say. He understands. Doesn't mean he will do it or not do it. But the point is, it's the first time I've ever felt the notion that I am in the office that is the leader of the free world, and we must be the leader of the free world. If we don't do it, nobody good is likely to do it or has the capacity to do it. I really mean it. I genuinely mean it. So it's the thing, Don, that is the only time, and by the way, the first time I walked downstairs and they played Hail to the Chief, I wonder, where is he? Oh, you think I'm kidding? I'm not kidding.
I don't think
you
know, he's kidding. I
mean, it's a great tune, isn't it?
It's sure a great tune, but I, you know, you feel a little self-conscious. But you think I'm kidding? I'm not. But I am not at all.
Joe, nobody thinks you're kidding. I'm sure he had no idea. And which was displayed kind of sadly later on in the night. I'll play that for you. But January 6th, no Republicans on the panel investigating. Nancy Pelosi asked the Capitol Police to stand down. She is the sergeant at arms. And for some reason, when they knew there was going to be a large rally with Trump supporters, Nancy Pelosi asked the Capitol Police to stand down, did not have adequate protection at the Capitol, even though they knew that that was a possibility. Also odd, isn't it? But they're going to do this January 6th investigation with no Republicans. Nancy Pelosi wouldn't allow the two Republicans who had indicated that they were going to ask tough questions like that one. Like, why did you ask the police to stand down? She said, I don't accept them on the committee. And so there aren't going to be any Republicans quizzing Nancy Pelosi on why she made so many blunders. Were they intentional or not? But so now we're going to have to just take Joe Biden's word on January 6th.
If Republicans and Democrats can't come together, right, to investigate the biggest attack on our Capitol in 200 years, what makes you think that they can come together on anything?
These people. No, I mean it. I'm not being facetious. Democrats and Republicans.
Why does he say that all the time? I mean it. I'm not joking. I'm not being facetious. Why does he think every time he gets an applause line that people think he's making a joke? There's something desperately wrong here.
I don't care if you think I'm Satan reincarnated. The fact is, you can't look at that television and say nothing happened on the 6th. You can't listen to people who say this was a peaceful march. No, I'm serious. Think about it.
No, I'm serious. It's just constant. No, and I do not believe that Joe Biden is Satan reincarnated, because Satan's alive and well in our world right now. And yes, I really do believe that. Satan's not dead and gone, so Satan can't be reincarnated. Also, for the first time, we found out that he's thinking about even taking away handguns.
Gun violence has taken the lives of so many young students and young people. I'm tired and I want to see change. It's going to make our cities like Cincinnati safer. So how will you address gun violence from a federal point of view to actually bring about change and make our local cities safer?
Now, I'm not being a wise guy. There's no reason you should. Have you seen my gun violence legislation I've introduced? As you know, because you're so involved, actually, crime is down. Gun violence and murder rates are up. Guns. I'm the only guy that ever got passed legislation when I was a senator to make sure we eliminated assault weapons. The idea you need a weapon that can have the ability to fire 20, 30, 40, 50, 120 shots from that weapon, whether it's a 9mm pistol or whether it's a rifle, is ridiculous. I'm continuing to push to eliminate the sale of those things.
Pistols? Now a 9mm pistol is going to be eliminated in America? I think the criminals will still have them. And then the moment that this is, you talked earlier about being the leader of the free world. And I just cannot believe that that is truly the case. I think we're probably not that far away from President Kamala because of moments like this.
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are why.
Well, I should clarify what the question was that he's answering. When are children under the age of 12 going to be able to get vaccinated?
And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact we know why all the drugs approved are not temporarily approved, but permanently approved.
Yeah. Okay, we did this a couple of hours ago. Sean, could you read this back to me, please?
Yes. And the question is whether or not we should be in a position where you are. Why can't the experts say we know that this virus is in fact is going to be or excuse me, we know why all the drugs approved or not temporarily approved but permanently approved.
Okay, got it. So that's when children under 12 are going to be allowed to be vaccinated in America. Now we all know. I appreciate it, Sean. I appreciate you listening. Tom Curley Show is coming up next, and we will see you tomorrow. God bless you in these crazy times. Tomorrow, high noon.
Look, your act is about as fresh as a Foghat concert.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. You're really a fantastic audience.